Hello and welcome to Grace Life Stellenbosch. We are a gospel-centered church family focused on reaching the unreached and making disciples. We pray this teaching will help you to grow in your relationship with Jesus and discover more of the reality of Christianity.
But then we come to Easter and we say that he was persecuted until death. We don't think about Jesus and think about the fact that his own family called him a madman or deserted him. We don't think about those things, but that's true. They even said, go to that town where they wanted to kill you. Like, if you actually know Shubhavi, yes, Khanoma. I mean, that's not positive, amen? I listened to something one day and the person said, like, if Jesus' brother believed that Jesus was the Messiah, who am I to disagree? Because why is that? Because your family knows your failures. Your family knows your flaws, and they know when you're short, and when you're short-tempered, and when you're not your best, amen? We can all put a mooi fuikie voorsit, you know? Like, and you can go out, and you can go to work, and you can be effective and that, and you can keep up appearances, but it's at home we often need to dig deep. It's at home where you, Natasha and I, look at each other the other night, and we realized quickly that being outnumbered as parents is quite a different challenge, amen? Because now if one is asleep, that's sort of the first target, is who falls asleep first. Because if it's any one of them, then at least for that moment, we're not outnumbered anymore. Because then it's all of a sudden, to put two kids to bed is easy. Before, it wasn't that easy. We were feeling a bit sorry for ourselves. But now as soon as one of them are down, then we're like, okay, now we can do this. But the other night, like, one went down and then came back. And like, it was just like, you just think you're in bed with this one, and then this one cries, and we looked at each other and ons het gesê nou moet ons sterk wees. Like, and that's really what digging deep means. It's to be strong. Like, and you're not sure that you've dug deep or that you grow deep roots until the storm comes. If you go past Stellenbosch Golf Course this morning, you can see clearly which trees maybe have deep roots and which didn't. Because if you didn't, it's now exposed. It's blown over. Like, I've never seen the town like I've done today. And that's also why we said, listen, if you'd rather join us online, do so. But to everyone here, there's a verse that I've often wanted to share, and I can this morning. So listen to this. From Philippians 2 and verse 28. It says, so I've sent him all the more eagerly, so that when you see him again, you may rejoice, and I may be less concerned about you. Welcome him, speaking about one of his fellow laborers, Epaphroditus. Welcome him home in the Lord with great joy, and appreciate and honor men like him. Okay, so he's speaking about, this is the type of person we should appreciate. These are the type of people that we should honor. Now listen to who this is. Because he came close to death for the work of Christ, risking his life to complete what was lacking in your service to me. And I mean, as I drove here this morning, I was like, Lord, please. Please not let a branch impale me on the way to church. And the first thing we did when we got to the building, when I got here at least, and when I spoke to the team, was like, is it safe? Like, let's make sure it's safe, okay? Because we don't want to be unsafe. That would be stupid. But, I mean, we made a call, and it said it's safe, and let's go. But it's maybe not so safe to get here, okay? So that's the difference. But in life, we need to realize that we need to dig deep. So how you kick your heels in and not just stand, but progress under pressure. The word speaks about the furtherance in the King James, the furtherance of the gospel. And that's a big English word, but it really means progress. Okay? And we see in the word that often when there's pressure, there's furtherance. Which doesn't make sense, really, does it? In our lives, we think there's pressure, we just hold on, we just wait till the storm is over. And there's a time to wait till the storm is over, amen? This morning maybe is one of those times. Just let the storm pass. But we can also further the gospel this morning. We can further it by sending the message out online. We can further the gospel by you taking what you received today and sharing it with others. We can further the gospel by us understanding more of who Christ is and then taking that and knowing that what we grow in is going to be fruitful. And I was really blessed the other day when we spoke to Pastor Isaac from Zimbabwe in one of our leadership sessions, and he spoke about what does fruitfulness mean. Think about it for a moment. We often say we want to be fruitful. We want to be fruitful followers of Christ. We want to be fruitful, fruit of the Spirit. We speak these Christianese. We use these terms, and we need to know what does it actually mean. And you know, Jesus didn't curse many things, but he did curse a fig tree. And why did he curse the fig tree? He cursed the fig tree because it wasn't fruitful. It had pretense. It had the appearance of fruitfulness. Yes, see, look at you. Let's give them a hand. Thank you so much. Now my kids will hear me later, because I won't use all my voice here this morning. So we're looking at, will we? Well, Gunrad, will you just fiddle with the buttons here? I don't sound like a robot. Philippians 1 verse 3 says, I thank my God upon all my remembrance of you, always in every supplication of mine on behalf of you, all making my supplication with joy for your fellowship in furtherance or progress of the gospel. In furtherance and progress of the gospel for the first day until now. If it doesn't work, I'll just go without. Oh, okay. So we're looking at what Paul says here. He says there's a furtherance of the gospel. A furtherance or progress. It says from the first day that you heard, there's a furtherance. Now, I want to ask us this morning, are we living to further the gospel? Is our life set up in a way that what we do is going to progress, move forward, take further? Is there a furtherance or progress of the gospel from the first day until now? The Amplified says of verse 5, thanking God for your participation and partnership, both your comforting fellowship and gracious contributions in advancing the good news regarding the salvation from the first day you heard it until now. So there's a progress, there's an advancement. You see, this is on the forefoot. And he's writing to a bunch of Christians who's having it tough. He's writing the letter to the Philippian church, or the church in Philippi, from prison. But he's not backing down. He's really digging deep. He's pressing in and he's moving forward. Now, a picture that comes to mind for me is a Springbok scrum. And that's, ladies, when this was Groot Mens Armdruk. Now, like, I still don't know why it's so fascinating to people, but it's like really just the, like, who's the strongest competition. But you really need to, you'll see what they do often is they'll kick in their boots into the grass and then they'll go low to dig deep. You need to dig deep and then you press from that base. Now, I had the privilege of playing in the front row in my high school days. And if you didn't position yourself right, like, you pop out. Like, you look like a question mark with your feet in the air. And that's not good for your ego. So you very quickly realize how to do it. You very quickly practice to get low and strong, to dig deep, to kick your heels in. And that's really what we want to do. Why? Because we want to move forward. Now, interestingly, you need to dig deep to be able to press forward strongly. And that's really what we're looking at today. Philippians 1:12 says, but I would you be understand, brethren, that the things which we have happened unto me have turned out unto the furtherance of the gospel. So Paul is saying, guys, don't worry so much about me. I don't want you to be overly concerned. Yes, I'm in prison. Yes, I'm under Roman guard. Yes, I'm not traveling the world as a missionary that I am. But the things that have happened to me, the bad things, the fact that I'm in prison, the fact that there's a storm brewing, the fact that people are literally losing their heads for Christianity has continued and have turned out, he says, unto the furtherance. There's that word again, of the gospel. Now, all of us need to define success for ourselves. Because if Paul was measuring success according to his pension plan, and he's not earning while he's in prison, then there's no furtherance of that pension plan, is there? He's depleting his savings, possibly. But he says, I measure my life according to the furtherance of the gospel. And in life, which is difficult, we've realized, sometimes we need to dig deep. But it is when we know that our lives count. They asked Viktor Frankl, I don't think he was even a believer. I think he was obviously a Jew in the Second World War. But they asked him, why did some people make it in the concentration camps and why did some not? And one of the things was just purpose. He says if they had purpose, then they had reason to continue. They had reason to dig deep. They had reason to to push on. They had reason to try and make it another day. You know, a lot of people committed suicide in the concentration camps because life was unbearable. But if you had purpose and if you had loved ones, those are the people who tend to make it, because they were living for something more than themselves. And they were able to dig deep because of that. So when life was tough, when you couldn't sleep, you couldn't eat, when everyone around you was dying, you were able to dig deep for a purpose bigger than yourself. You and I, as born-again believers, have a purpose bigger than that. And that's why Paul writes, and he says, I don't know if I should die or not. Can you imagine? And he's actually at the end of his life. He's an old man that's gone through a lot of punishment and pain, and he's carrying the aches in his body of stonings, of being beaten with rods, of being martyred to the point of death. And then he just stands up. Like, they stone him. Now, stone him is meaning they were fully planning on killing him. And the word is not really clear if he died or not, but it says he got up. Now, I mean, if life is tough and you've just been stoned, let's say to death, because of the gospel, I mean, there's no really a better way to go than being martyred. If that makes you worried, then you've got some growing up to do. There's really no better way to go than being martyred. I'm not prophesying. I'm not claiming it. I'm not looking out for it. I'm not going to try and find someone who will martyr me. But if you are martyred, I believe you're going to get a good and faithful servant the moment you walk in. Paul says, well, I'm not done. So he gets up. What a man. Huh? Isn't that digging deep? Really digging deep and pushing into more. He says, why? Because if I live, there's opportunities for Christ. If I live, there's opportunities to share the gospel. If I die, yeah, I'm happy. I'm of Jesus. I'm rid of this body, these aches and pains, and I'll be much more joyful. But there's no opportunity to share the gospel once we're done here. So he really digs deep and finds that space. He says in Philippians 1:12 from the Passion, I want you to know, dear ones, what has happened to me has not hindered but helped my ministry of preaching the gospel, causing it to expand and spread to many people. Now, I'm thinking about COVID and what happened when we couldn't meet in person. And what's interesting, I have recordings on my phone of that January 2020, where we had a leadership meeting and we said to the leaders, we feel God says, like, we should be ready or think about how we would operate as a persecuted church, which means how would we do church if we can't meet on a Sunday? Now, you might think it sounds obvious now, but that wasn't very obvious and plain in January. In March, things changed, obviously. And on 27th March, we went into lockdown. And praise God that he prepared us. And there was a furtherance of the gospel. Annalise, I think about you guys who met us online, joined ministry school, joined the services, and eventually said, we want to be part of this. Now being leaders and life group leaders. So there's a furtherance of the gospel in the midst of the chaos, in the midst of the persecution, in the midst of the pressure. So it's how we deal with it, causing it to expand and spread to many people. Verse 13 says, for now the elite Roman guards and government officials overseeing my imprisonment have plainly recognized that I'm here because of my love for the Anointed One. It says, everyone who's taking care of me, all the prison guards know why I'm here. They know I'm not a criminal. How did they know? He told them. They didn't know just by, oh, well, by the way, this guy is not dangerous. He shared with them the gospel. They've plainly recognized that I am here because of my love for the Anointed. And what I'm going through has actually caused many believers to become even more courageous in the Lord and to be bold and passionate to preach the word of God, all because of my chains. He says, guys, don't be so worried about me. Be bold. Be courageous. Shane shared it in our leadership session the other day, and he says, we are kingdom leaders, brave and bold. And that just like sort of stuck with me. We should be brave and bold. Like we spoke about it on Easter weekend. Peter wasn't brave when he saw Christ before the cross. Peter got brave and bold after the resurrection, when he received the Spirit, and when the resurrected Christ spent time with him, restored him, loved on him. And you and I, we all get that privilege. Maybe not in the flesh like he did, but we get to spend time with God if we dig deep. Now, digging deep goes far. And we'll probably have to do a few Sundays to unpack this. But sometimes we need to dig deep in the Word. We need to dig deep in our Bible study. We need to dig deep in prayer. We need to dig deep in ministry night. I remember one night in ministry night, we had a, it was actually in COVID time. And we prayed for someone who was basically, let's say, very sick in COVID. And the doctor, like, was very, very worried. And we prayed, in the Spirit. And I remember, I think it was Gavin Cox who was here from East London. And he said, we need someone to take this over the line. So we can pray and we can pray and we can pray. But I don't know if you've ever prayed, like, to take it over the line. Again, a rugby methodology or analogy would be, like, you can scrum and scrum, but when you scrum to score a try, like, it's different. And you only stop, when do you stop? When it's done, okay? When you need to pray until it's over the line, you don't stop until it's done. And I promise you, I've never prayed like I prayed that day. Some of you might have been there and partook of that. But that was, like, I started praying, and I didn't know what to pray. So I went up, took the mic, and I was like, I'm not sure what I'm going to pray now. And I just started praying in tongues, and I just never stopped praying in tongues. And it just like, I dug deep in the Spirit, and that afternoon the person was healed. The doctor said, like, no more worries, you can stop the oxygen. Not because I prayed, but because I prayed. Because the Spirit in me, I dug deep, and I put Peter out the way, and I was like, at one stage, I was like, sure, what are people going to think? I'm usually more calm. But that was brave and bold. That was outside of me. That was like he giving over to the Spirit, really, which is the Word, and then praying in that sense and praying until it's done. And then so that was digging deep. Now, sometimes when you dig deep, you get dirty. Okay? And things take longer. When we speak to our leaders, we speak about maturity. We speak about growing deep roots and building on a foundation. We need to dig until we find rock. And only then we start building. In our own lives, we often want to start building. But God speaks to Jeremiah in Jeremiah 1:10, and he says, you need to break down. You need to pull down. You need to uproot. You need to do away. And then you need to build and to plant. And in our lives, I believe there's more unlearning we often need to do than just learning. But unlearning doesn't feel like you're moving forward. In fact, you're not. But you're opening up yourself. You're digging deep so that what gets planted gets deep-rooted. So it's not a waste of time to uproot, to uplift. Let's look at, we find that verse, Jeremiah 1. I think it's verse 10. See, I have set this day before you, set you over nations and over kingdoms, to root out, to pull down, and to destroy, to throw down. So four, let's call it negatives, or removal, four minuses. Need to uproot, root out, pull down, destroy, throw down, and then only build and plant. Then only do we build and plant. After we've uprooted, after we have torn down. You see, Paul's attitude here is amazing. He's not down in the dumps because of the problems he's facing. No, he's rather ministering to everyone that he can, even in prison under the Roman guard. Now, why is this important? Why is it important that we're able to dig deep in this life? Colossians 2 verse 6 from the Voice says, now that you have welcomed the Anointed One, Jesus the Lord, into your lives, continue to journey with Him and allow Him to shape your lives. Let your roots grow down deeply in Him and let Him build you up on a firm foundation. Be strong in the faith, just as you were taught, and always spill over with thankfulness. Isn't that beautiful? He's just going to tell them now that you are complete in Christ, in verse 9, 10, and 11, but he's telling them to dig deep, to allow or let. So you allow your roots to grow deep into Him. A firm foundation, and let Him build you up. Be strong in the faith, just as you were taught. Isn't that interesting? How can you be strong in the faith? By being taught. A lot of people like that. He says, be strong in the faith as you were taught. So you can't be strong in the faith without being taught. You need to be strong through teaching. You need to be strong through teaching. Make sure no predator makes you his prey through some misleading philosophy and empty deception based on traditions fabricated by mere mortals. These are sourced in the elementary principles originating in this world and not in the Anointed One. So don't let their talk capture you. really speaking about digging deep is looking past what we see. Digging deep is living spiritually. Digging deep is saying yes to God when you know He's spoken to you, even if it makes no sense in the natural. That's digging deep. That's when everyone says you're crazy. But you know God's spoken. What do you have? You have the opportunity to dig deep. Why do you go to that church that's in the sand and a barn when you can go to a luxury church that's only going to keep you busy for 1 hour with soft seats and an aircon? Well, sometimes we need to dig deep. We need to dig deep if we're serious. We want to dig deep if we want to grow. If you're in construction, you realize, and you can ask Paul as well, and Jack, like, if you dig deep, you can build high. If you don't dig deep, don't build high. Like, don't build big. It's going to take longer, but it's going to stand. It's going to withstand the storm, amen? Colossians 2:7, rooted, built up in Him, and established in the faith. Rooted, built up, as you have been taught. So there's no faith without teaching. Now, I know teaching is not the most exciting part of your Sunday, probably. And it's not what people like to major on. But what was Jesus known as? Teacher. Rabbi. Yes, He did miracles and He quieted the storm. Praise God, how quiet is that? Now we appreciate things like silence. Be still and know that I'm God. Do you know that that's what we did this morning? When I arrived here and we were all spinning. I was spinning. I wasn't sure what to do. You can ask the team. I said, come together, let's pray. People were sending me messages, are they church? I'm like, I'll let you know now, we're praying. Because it's not my decision. It's God's decision. So in the midst of the noise, we got still. And we said, Lord, what is wisdom here? We want to be safe. We want to be sure. We want to honor those who came, but we want to make sure that everyone's safe. And if you can't come, and I think wisdom was what we did. And said, if you're here already, it's probably more dangerous to go home. And if you're not here, like, we definitely won't keep it against you. We're glad that you're joining us online. Because we didn't know what to do. But what did we do? We got still and we dug deep. It says, forget about the coffee and the screen, and say to the team, it's not going to be a normal service, but there's going to be prayer, there's going to be worship, and there's going to be word. There's going to be fellowship, and we will be built up together, and we will move forward stronger together. Because we're going to use what we have, the opportunity to meet together, whether in person or online. And I didn't plan to speak to my iPad like I do to the people online now. We have everything nicely set up, but even when that happened, we were like, let's take a moment and make sure that we minister to the people who said that we're going to minister to online. Why? Because we have to. No, because we get to. Because we get to meet together, because we get to dig deep, because we know what we have and we honor what we do. We honor the word. We know that there's furtherance this morning. So we're not going to a storm stop us. We are the unstoppable church. We've preached that in 2019, and we're not going to start changing that now. We're going to dig deep, and if it means, like, let's find a hotspot and an iPad, and we preach, like, we're digging deep because we believe so much in the word that we have. We believe so much in this message and this purpose, and we believe so much in Christ who saved us and given His life for us. How can we not? Amen. If one of you receives something this morning that's of eternal value, then all of this is worth it. Then all of this is worth it. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit after the traditions of men and after the rudiments of this world. Basically, the word says anything that's not after Christ. So anything that is not Christ will spoil you. And sometimes we need to dig deep to get through a lot of the traditions and the rudiments and the elements and the things that we've grown up with even to get to Christ. Because the evil one did what? He deceived Eve by getting her away from the simplicity of Christ. So whenever we add something to Christ, we're actually doing the devil's work. Now you got what you came for. Because the word is clear in that. It says that the evil one deceived, moving her away from the simplicity of Christ. So when we uproot and pull down everything that is not of Christ, And then we build up and we dig deep and we find Christ, who is the rock, according to 1 Corinthians 3, and we build on Christ as the foundation, then we're building right. Then we're moving forward. Then we're building something that will stand. Amen? And that's what this church is built on. Shane and Marna started this church in 2010. They're not here this morning. But they dug deep. And they dug deep into our lives, and they built into our lives, and many of us still receive so much from them. And I phoned him this morning, and I said, I just want to keep you in the loop. It's bad here, but we're going to make sure it's safe, and then we'll let you know. And he asked me just before the service, how's things? And I said, we're continuing, and this, and we're good. And he said, super. Because he's still part of this. He's still overseeing this. He's still leading this, but he's not here this morning. And that really is the picture of discipleship. But he had to dig deep, and we had to let him speak into our lives. And now we can continue the work. And now the work can continue in Tigerberg and Solaris Pass and Rondebosch and many other areas this morning, even Belgium. Because there's digging deep. There's moving forward. Listen to Philippians 1:27. Only be sure to lead your lives in a manner that will be worthy of the gospel of Christ. And that's really what I want to ask us this morning. Are we living worthy of the gospel? This is what I shared with the leaders on, I think it was yesterday, or Friday even. Are we living worthy of the gospel? What does it mean? What does it mean to live worthy of the gospel? This amazing, great news, the fact that Christ died, that he's resurrected, that he's poured out his life, his spirit, that we're forgiven. What does it mean? Are we worthy of that? Yes, we're worthy to receive, obviously, but now what do we do in response? If the good news is so good, what do you do with it? Now, I cannot help but tell others. It's too good to keep for myself, but am I living worthy of the gospel of Christ? He says, whether I come to see you or remain absent. So I know you want me here or with you, but I might not get there. That's not a reason not to live worthy. He says, I do come and see you or remain absent. I will hear about you that you are standing firm. This is living worthy of the gospel. Standing firm. How do you need to stand firm? You need to dig deep. You need to kick in your heels. Standing firm in one spirit and one purpose. Okay, if we're here for all the bells and whistles, then don't be here this morning because we can't give you the bells and the whistles. But if we have a purpose that we are here to be discipled, to go out and to make disciples, and we do it in community, thank you for coming. Thank you for joining us online because that's what we have. That's our purpose. That's what we're called to do. He says, with one mind, striving. Yes, there's dancing in church, but there's also striving. There's standing, there's being firm and working together. And the word speaks about fellow soldiers, fellow laborers. And he's speaking about the church, by the way. The saved people, the free people. He says, stand firm with one mind, striving side by side, as if in combat for the faith of the gospel. Ever watch the movie Gladiator, you know that when we're side by side and we bring our shields, then we can withstand a lot. The greatest enemy couldn't penetrate if we're together. But by ourselves, my rugby coach always said, like this you break your pinky, but like this you go through a wall. And that's what we do, church. That's why we're together. That's why we value the gathering. We value what we have. We value. And the first thing I asked this morning to everyone who arrived, and I hope you online as well, like that, is your house safe? How's things going? The last time we had a storm like this, someone in church lost two of their cars, where a wall blew over on both their cars. So it doesn't mean you're a Christian, bad things don't happen, but how do you deal with it when it happens? And you don't need to deal with it in isolation. We get to do this together. Philippians 2 verse 2 from the Amplified. He reiterates this. He says, make my joy complete. Can you imagine having complete joy? Can you imagine giving this minister of the gospel, Paul, something that is going to make his joy complete? After all that he suffered and endured and all these letters that you and I read that he wrote, he suffered for us to have them today. He says, make my joy complete by being of the same mind. I, having the same love towards one another, knit together in spirit, intent on one purpose, and living a life that reflects your faith and spreads the gospel, the good news regarding the salvation of Christ. Live your lives as that. Philippians 1 verse 22 says, so here's my dilemma. I spoke about this earlier. Each day I live means bearing more fruit in my ministry. And I was challenged by that. Is each day in my life fruitful? I know my life is fruitful, but is every day fruitful? And we need to chat about God, with God about that for all of us. Yet I fervently long to be liberated from this body and joined fully to Christ. That would suit me fine. It says I'm done with all this pain, all the suffering, all the carrying the scars, and he says even the burden of the church. Like that's for him even worse than just being in pain. Like the burden of the churches that he's planted. That would suit me fine, but the greatest advantage to you would be that I remain alive, so that I can see why you can see why I'm torn between the two. I don't know which I prefer. Man, there's a time when people just want to get out of here. And Paul is there. But he then digs deep and he says, but me leaving is not good for you. In Philippians 2, he continues and he says, live as if other people are more important than you. You know what? That's nice to say, and you can say amen, and we can say wachatz of unia or whatokal, but that causes you to dig deep. And I'm not always there. I want to be there. I mean, if the baby cries and you consider your wife more important than you, then you're the one who gets up. But the flesh is not always willing. If the dishes need to be done and you consider other people more important than yourself, who's going to get up and do the dishes? So there's practical application to this. And you can't go home now and say, but Peter said, jy moet nou die skottel goed was. That's not what I say. It's for you to decide. It's for you to consider. It's for you to dig deep. But just think if we live in families and homes and a church where that is how we live, where it's not about me, but about us. And that's really where Paul is. Paul says, if it was just me, I'd be out of here. Interestingly that he doesn't say that he's going to pray to God to come fetch him. But that's a different message for a different day. But it's fully up to him. I mean, he was stoned and he got up. Now he says, I'm ready to go, but I'm not going yet. My grandmother turns 90 soon. And I spoke to her one day and I said, Gran, you know you don't need to be sick to die. And she said, what? I said, you don't. You can just go be with Jesus. Like, you don't need to suffer to get there. And she never thought that because everyone around her is sick and dying. You and I, we can go be with Jesus without being sick. You don't need that. But if I look around the room and online, then we're not done yet. We're not going anywhere. We've got work to do. Amen? We're going to dig deep and we're going to get this done. Philippians 1:25. And having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for all your furtherance, for your progress, your profit, and joy of faith. Not for me. For you, furtherance, again the word there, progress, moving forward, pressing on, digging deep for the progress, the furtherance, and joy of faith. Said in the beginning of the message, I said, it's not just that you endure, but how. Here Paul picks up on that and he says, the furtherance and joy. So we continue, but we continue with joy for the faith, even in the midst of the struggle, the midst of the life that we live and the struggles that we face. Ephesians 3:16 says that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man. That's digging deep. Not me, Lord, but you. The inner man, the real you. So the other day I was speaking to Jordan, our three-year-old, and I shared some of it last week, and he said to me, what did Jesus do? That was over Easter, and he saw me preparing videos and like, and they love this song, Soul on Fire, which I can deliberate the lyrics still, but that's not the point. And he looked at me and he says, where's my soul? I mean, what a question for a three-year-old. He's like, where's my soul? And he's always like, where's Jesus? And then you have to explain to him, Jesus is not in the flesh anymore. He was a baby, he grew up like you, he became a man, and he was killed. He said, die soldaten doet gemaakt. I said, yes, buddy, you're on your way. But he's not dead anymore, and now he lives where? In us. But it's not the man Jesus who lives in you, because that would be weird. It's the Spirit of God who lives in you. The same Spirit that rose Christ from the dead now lives in you. Romans 8 verse 11. But then Paul writes and he says, we need to be strengthened with might by His Spirit, where? In our inner man. So what does character look like? Well, character has got to do with your upbringing. Character has got to do with what you went through in life. But really, we don't have an excuse if we have the Spirit of God. Because the Spirit of God, yes, says, works in the inner man. But if we let Him. If we let Him. Doesn't say that the Spirit of man, of God works in the outer man. Like meaning everything we do in this life is going to flourish. It could. But there's no promise like that. But there's a promise here that we could all be strengthened in the inner man. Where you really... Waar jou soul, waar jou siel is, wie is jy regtig? I mean, and I know when I look on the screen and I look in the room, there's some strong people here who's gone through life and are going through stuff and but we've been strengthened by His Spirit in the inner man. And that's the only reason we stand. And that's what we remind each other of today and every day. Like, there's more than what you see. Because Christ in me, Christ in you, Christ in us is the hope of glory. But sometimes you need to dig through all the leaves and all the troubles and the symptoms and the sicknesses and sorrows and everything and broken relationships and past hurts. You need to dig deep to get to that inner man of who we really are. And when we get to who we really are, we know that Christ has accepted who you really are, if you've accepted Him. He's outstretched that hand and says, come, be reconciled to God. He says, but what about this mistake? And what about my past? And what about this thing? He says, that's about the real you. The inner you. That person, they say, sleep is often where a lot of trauma like presents itself, because sleep is where you're reminded that you're really alone. It's when no one is there, and like, I don't know, I know people who struggle to sleep, or they fall asleep and then they say they lie awake from 3 a.m, and some people struggle to fall asleep again, but that's really a place where we can feel all the troubles and the weight of the world. And we don't often get up and do something about it. I know someone who, I get off emails from him often, like 4 a.m, because he says if he can't sleep, he starts working. That's one way to deal with it. But when we're really by ourselves, we're not by ourselves. I was thinking about what to preach, and I had a lot of great ideas, and I did Google research, and I had lots of nice things, and nice series titles, and all of that, and I just didn't feel like this is it. Like, I know when I feel it. And I was putting Jordan to bed last night, and I said, Lord, what do the church need? And the words dig deep, just like, and it, of all the clever things I thought up yesterday, dig deep wasn't one of them. Then I knew, this is it. And then I saw, oh, there's a level 9 warning for a windstorm. But that's not even what the message is about. It just helps. It creates a bit of ambiance, doesn't it? Because the storm will go away, the streets will be cleared, walls will be rebuilt, and we will still sit with our issues. We still sit with the ghosts that haunt us from our past. That's what the message is about. To dig deep so that the Spirit will strengthen us in the inner man. That Christ might dwell in your hearts by faith. That you being rooted and grounded, there you have it, in love. We need that inner knowing that we are loved. Don't we? We can tell you you're forgiven, but why are you forgiven? For God so loved the world that He gave His Son. I love Paul Shane's session on, he had an Easter special for ministry school. Some of you were in that session. And he spoke about God didn't love the church after the cross, after the punishment, after the payment. No, God so loved the world that He sent His Son. When we were at our worst, Romans 5 says, then Christ died for us. So He loved you. We need to be rooted and grounded in that love, that we may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that we might be filled with the fullness of God. It's only when we realize and know the love of God that we can experience the fullness of God. That's what the verse says. So a lot of people want to be academic about understanding God, but they're not letting Him love them. And we only love because He first loved us. 1 John 4. We need to let Him, allow Him. Now unto Him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to what? The power that works in us. Isn't that powerful? God can do all things through you. Without me and you, God is limited. Not just Grace Life Stellenbosch, that's what I'm talking. Without us, believers, worldwide, God cannot do what God set out to do if we're not going to do it. Because that power is not in heaven. That power is in you. Amen. Unto Him be glory in the church by Christ throughout all ages, world without end. The church is God's plan and it's not going to change. You see, we don't need more of God in our lives. You might think you need more of God. You don't. You need to dig deep, stand strong, and hold on. Take heed. Hold on. Okay. We need some seat belts for next week. Listen to this. Colossians 4:17 says, "And say to Archippus, take heed to the ministry which you have received in the Lord, that you fulfill it." Take heed to the ministry, the calling, because we need to fulfill what was placed in front of us. We need to fulfill and finish what is ours to do. Paul writes to the church and he says, "Fellow soldiers, in your house church," in Philemon 1, he says, "take effort and sacrifice." It takes effort and sacrifice to have a church in your home. Everyone has a life group. You won't tell them, but you need to clean up. You need to put the dishes away. Or that's why a dishwasher is awesome. You just close the door and you hope no one opens it. And then people are after the ministry, "No, we'll help you clean up. We'll pack." No, don't pack the dishwasher. Or you just pack it in and you just you rinse it. Okay, it gets rid of the smell a bit. But it takes effort to have a church in your home. Sometimes we need to dig deep and do it. You see, we don't need more of God in our lives. We need to live more out of God who is already in our lives. We need to get God out. We don't need to get more of God in. Philemon 1:6 is famous and it says, "I pray that the faith we share may effectively deepen your understanding of every good thing that belongs to you in Christ Jesus." King James says that the communication of your faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you. We need to dig deep inside of us. We need to dig deep into the Word that's going to show us who we have and what we've got. Conferences won't do it. Prophecy won't do it. Deliverance won't do it. Digging deep in the Word and understanding who you are, being rooted and grounded in His love, that will do it. And if you are discipled and you need deliverance, we'll pray for you. If you are discipled and we prophesy over you, that will happen. And we've done it in church often. That's good. But prophecy has never changed anyone's life. Because if you're not willing and able to dig deep to react and respond to the prophecy is just a prophecy. The Greek here literally says, "for the sharing of the faith of you." The sharing of the faith of you. We need to share the faith of who we are, but what we have, what we believe. Philemon 1:23 says, "Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in the Anointed One, Jesus, sends his greetings of peace to you. And so does Mark, Aristarchus, Demas, and Luke, my companions in this ministry." My fellow prisoner, my fellow laborers. Now, as we close, begin to close, Paul mentions a lot of people often. And one of them is Demas. And here in Philemon 1:24, he says that Demas sends greetings. Well, that's pretty cool, eh? It's like, just think if you ministered with Paul and he writes a letter and you get tagged. Like, you get at. Like, it's like when someone famous tags you on Instagram. Like, that must feel nice. Okay? Now, he was a fellow laborer and a companion with Paul in the ministry. Then Colossians 4, verse 12, "Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, salutes you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. For I bear him record that he has great zeal for you and them that are in Laodicea." So this guy prays fervently and he prays with zeal. He's digging deep in prayer. He's not just praying, "Ja, Here vergewe hulle sondes." No, he's really making He's making serious business of this prayer. Then he says in verse 14, Luke, the beloved physician, and Demas greet you. Again, Demas gets a tag. So Demas is now, he's copied in, CC'd in to the email, the letter to Philemon, and now also to Colossians. But look at this. One of the saddest verses in the Bible. From 2 Timothy 4, verse 7, it says, I have fought a good fight, and I finished my course. I have kept the faith. Paul is saying, I dug deep. I kept my footing. I stood strong. I withstood all the pressures and the things that came against me. And then verse 9, he says, do your diligence to come to me shortly. For Demas has forsaken me. So just because you start well doesn't mean you end well. Now I believe we'll see Demas in heaven, and I'm sure he's repented by now, and he feels bad for what he did. But Paul really needed someone there. Now, Paul, as an old man, writes to his apprentice, Timothy, and he says, Demas has deserted me. Why has Demas deserted Paul? Having loved this present world, and has departed unto Thessalonica. So he, at one point in time, lost focus. And he took his eyes off of the eternal, and he put it on the temporal. He put it on this life. At one stage, he said, I had enough. This Christian thing is not for me. Like, to always be hungry, to never be without a nice place, to I don't know what it was, to maybe not to go on holiday, or to, like, why is the church not growing? Paul, I don't know if your ministry is worth it. Like, we need to see more growth. When are we going to have a better building? I don't know what the questions were, but there's bitterness and questions that was in his heart. And then he took his eyes off of the eternal and he put it on the temporal. He says he loved this life. Ask yourself then, are you profitable for the ministry? He says in verse 11, only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with you, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. Bring that person, which, by the way, has been restored by Nain because he also deserted Paul. He says he's profitable for the ministry. I'm asking you this morning, are you living for the furtherance of the gospel of Christ? And are you profitable for the ministry? And if the answer is no, there's no condemnation. But there's also very little fruit, I'm sure. And we all want to be fruitful, don't we? We want to live and be fruitful. We want to live and multiply. In Genesis 1 already, God says, be fruitful and multiply. And it's not just speaking about making babies. In fact, he's speaking about what we're speaking about today. Making disciples, seeing people come to Christ. Are we fruitful? The Passion says, since Demas deserted me and has left to go to Thessalonica, for he loves his own life. You see, when we love this life, this world, then we actually love our own lives. But we get to lay down our lives for the King. And when we lay down our lives, we actually live better, with less depression and less anxiety, more purpose and more reason to get up in the morning. But it's a bit of the upside down kingdom there, isn't it? It's those who want to keep their lives will lose it, the word says, but those who lay down or willing to lose it will actually gain it. Proverbs says there's those who scatter and give, like, graciously and yet increases, and then there's those who hold on tightly to what they've got and they lose everything. We don't know why, but it's because it's actually whether we are trusting God or not. The invitation is to live for more. The invitation is to dig deep, because it doesn't come naturally. I know it doesn't. Last week I had an opportunity to either go to work and make money or to come here and record for YouTube. Now, it was long weekend, it was Easter, so every day I don't work, like, I earn less. And I caught myself and I'm like, I don't know why I'm thinking about this. This is an easy decision. I'm giving my life for the ministry. So I came and I recorded. Month end is on the way, but that's God's problem, isn't it? Because we can get caught up on the little things, and what a few hours here and a few hours there is going to do, but that video will go out and hopefully bless many of you and many other people, because it will be to the furtherance of the gospel. Now, at one stage I had to leave and Shane continued by himself, because I had to babies to sleep. And that also is digging deep. I know it looks different for all of us. I'm sharing my context because that's the one I can. But you and I, we all have decisions to make. We shouldn't see those decisions as burdens, because then we're not moving forward. If we have decisions to make and we get to choose for the gospel, you know, I felt so light and so purposeful after saying no to that work and yes to come record. And I sat here and I recorded and I was like, I'm so glad I chose this. I'm so glad that I had to dig deep and get through the emotions and get through the fears and get through the humanity. But there's a strong man inside me and his name is Christ. And when I dig deep and I dig through all the flesh and all the carnality and all the worries and all the thoughts and all the things and all the false promises that this world gives us, and I hit rock, which is Christ, then I start building. And I've never been disappointed to build on the rock of Christ. Have I had to dig deep to find Him? Yes, often and still. Through the noise, through the leaves and the chaos around us. When we go into hospitals to minister, there's noise and there's fear and there's sadness all around us. Sometimes we're overwhelmed by this life and the fears and the things that it present. We need to dig deep and find Christ, because we don't only hit rock when we hit rock bottom. Okay, you don't need to hit rock bottom to find Christ. But you need to find Him. You need to build on Him. And we need to dig deep through all the noise of this world. Philippians 2 verse 19, and I'm closing, says, but I hope in the Lord Jesus. That's our hope. Our hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy shortly unto you, that I also may be of good comfort when I know your state. For I have no man like-minded who will care truly for your state. There's not a lot of us. There's not a lot of Timothys in this world. There's not a lot. Paul says there's no one but him. Now, I don't know about you, but I want to be a Timothy in the ministry. I want to be profitable for the ministry. I want to be available when people need me. I want to be there and I want to care more than most others. It says in verse 21, for they all seek their own, not the things of Christ. They're all Demases. They start well and then they fall away. But there's no one like Timothy. And you and I, we decide. Are we going to be like Timothy? Are we going to enjoy life like Timothy? I'm not for one moment worried that when we go and speak to Timothy in heaven one day that he'd be like, say, I chose wrong. Not for one moment. He would say, if I could choose again, I'll choose again. I'll lay down. I'll dig deep. I'll find him. And then I care for the things of Christ. But you know the proof of him, that as a child he served, that as a child served her father, so he served me. How did he serve me? Philippians 2 verse 22. In the furtherance of the gospel. That's our true service. Diakonos, people who pack our chairs. No. Diakonos, deacons, people who work for the furtherance of the gospel. People who support those who further the gospel. Yes, we need to pack our chairs and we have to rake leaves and we need to find internet and get things done. Why do we do it? For the furtherance of the gospel. Why do we serve each other and Shane in this ministry? For the furtherance of the gospel. I logged into the group for ministry school this year. 72 people. 72 people are doing ministry school this year. A lot of them in Belgium. Some of them in Albania. All throughout the world, people are logging in from Canada. Why? Because there's a message that gives life. And guess what? If you've done ministry school, you know it's going to cost you. It's going to cost you time. It's going to cost you effort. It's going to cost you internet. You're going to have to dig deep. You're going to have to dig deep in the Word, because there's going to be things that challenge you. But 72 people said, hey, here's life. They've tasted and seen the goodness of God, and they've seen that there is something that they want, something that will further the gospel. So what are we going to do to dig deep this week? How are we going to focus on the things of God for the furtherance of the kingdom? And again, it's not a burden. It might feel like it. But if you made a plan to join us online and you've been looking up my nostrils for the last hour and you're still in, well done. And if you hear between the noise and the power outages and everything, I know that we are serious. I drove past a very nice church building yesterday and last week, different buildings. And it's like advertised, we'll only keep you busy for an hour. Like the church times is like blatantly, openly telling everyone, we won't keep you for long. Sorry. I'm not going to promise that. Because I need to dig deep. We need to dig deep. We need to build line by line, precept by precept. We need to come back next week and receive again. You need to go into online and find a discipleship course and get what we got there. Because I spoke to someone yesterday who's been in church with Grace Life longer than I have. And he said to me, listen, these days you need to know what you're talking about. You can't just answer and say, this is how we've always done it. And that's how we've grown and progressed. Like, we challenge people to say, hey, not just do you believe, but why? And what? And why, and why do you do that? And why do you think about that? And where do you think it comes from? We're digging deep. And we're digging deep in the Word because we want fruitfulness. For you, for the church, for the kingdom. Amen? Let's stand together. Father, thank you that there is goodness in the land of the living. Father, thank you that there is more than enough kingdom purpose for all of us to partake of. And Father, as we go home now, thank you that you protect us. Thank you for everyone who was able to join us online and that we could make a plan so that the Word could go out. Thank you that we know that we can move forward, that we can progress, that we can further the gospel in your kingdom, Father. Thank you for the message of life, Father. Thank you that we could be strengthened by the Spirit in the inner man. With all the noise of the world around us, Father, all the chaos and the confusion, I just feel God says, don't look out, look in. Don't look out, look in. I mean, Stellenbosch is becoming more like Cape Town these days if you look around. Like, there's more confusion in gender and everything that goes with that than I've ever seen. But we don't look out and get worried, oh, where's the world going? No, we look in and say, hey, Christ in me, the hope of glory. If people walk around as question marks, we know we've got the answer. So let's go to them. Go and make disciples. We need to go find them. We can't just wait for people to show up. We need to go. Go and find them. Go and live purpose. Go and live for more than ourselves. So Father, we just thank you for every person under the sound of my voice right now, that you stir in us a renewed hunger for the kingdom. A renewed purpose, Father, that we would push on and dig in and move forward, that we would be able to further the gospel in our nation and our generation. That there would be profit, Father, progress, that more people would get to know about Christ, the simplicity, the gospel. I pray for every person here that they would just be stirred up, Father, by your Spirit. That we would live like Timothy, not like Demas. That we would continue, that we would fulfill, that we would endure. That we would dig deep and stand strong. Not our power, Lord, but you in us is what the world is waiting for. Yeah, Father, help us to see this and to live this and how we conduct ourselves, how we attend meetings and even ministry night. Like, we have an opportunity this week to go to ministry night. It's going to cost you something. It's going to cost you time and effort and petrol. But that's important. Because that's where we share hearts and that's where we further the gospel. You have an opportunity every day and every Sunday to give into this ministry financially. And sometimes we need to dig deep because we need the money. But if we believe what we give is to further the gospel, it's a good gift. It's profitable, not for you. It's profitable for the kingdom. If you know there's people who've got questions and you and I have the answers, we need to go out and find them and speak to them and meet with them. Phone them if you have to. Meet up for coffee. Say, hey, I heard you speak about this and that. Like, this is what I think. Let's go start spiritual conversations. Let's not play safe and play church. Let's be church. You know this is what you want. You know this is what your heart yearns for. This is what we were made for. Solomon had all the riches in the world and he says there's eternity in the hearts of man. Eternity. Yes, we need to work and we need to pay bills and we need to do what we need to do, but do not neglect the eternal side of you. Do not neglect the eternal side of you. Eternal purpose.
You can find more of our free teachings on our website, www.gracelife.ca. And if you're ever in the Stellenbosch area, we invite you to join us for one of our gatherings. Our aim is to help you discover Jesus, find family, and experience life. To contact us, or to find out where and when we meet, visit our website, www.gracelife.ca.